So in the story of the visitation from Luke's gospel, when Mary visits Elizabeth, the first thing that I always notice is how Mary goes in haste. And most women who, as soon as they find out that they're pregnant, usually don't undertake an 81-mile voyage by foot or by donkey, however, whatever means that she used or a combination thereof. So right away we see Mary's unselfishness and how Mary was so other-focused that at a time, whenever every woman who's been pregnant, at a time when you know every instinct is to kind of take care of yourself, which isn't bad. Mary's instinct was to bring Jesus to others. And so this image of Mary going across the hill country to this town of Ein Karin is the geographical site where the house of Elizabeth and Zechariah is, just on the other side of Jerusalem. The church has always seen this as kind of like a looking back as well as a looking forward. So some of you have been doing or have done some of Father Mike Schmitz's Bible in a Year podcast. Kelly and Mom are doing that. And so for those people who are current with the podcast, they just went through 1 and 2 Samuel. And 1 and 2 Samuel has a lot to do with the Ark of the Covenant. And this is before the temple built. So 1 and 2 Samuel cover the reigns of Saul and David. And then with 1 Kings, which is where Father Mike is at right now, we're just starting, then Solomon is finally going to build the temple. David always talks about building the temple and wanted to, but it wasn't God's will. So David prepares for the building of the temple, but ultimately it's going to be his son Solomon. Central to the temple itself was the Ark of the Covenant, which was then placed in the middle of the temple as the dwelling place of God on earth. But before the temple was built, the ark was being moved around from place to place in a tent along with Israel. Then there was a period of time where, because of Israel's infidelity, the ark was lost among the Philistines, and then it was recovered. And there's a scene in 2 Samuel where David finally has possession again of the ark, and he is, and they're moving the ark through the hill country of Judah. And so when we read, when the first readers of or hearers of Luke's gospel heard that Mary set out and traveled to the hill country, to the town of Judah, they would have thought about who it was that Mary was carrying in her womb, Jesus, literally the dwelling place of God among men, and how now she is the new Ark of the Covenant, and a better Ark of the Covenant, because she doesn't just have the tablets of the Ten Commandments, which would have been contained in the Ark of the Covenant, the written Word of God, we could say, but the Word himself is being carried in the womb of Mary. We hear how David dances for joy in front of the ark. And what happens as soon as Mary arrives to greet Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaps in the womb of his mother, of his mother Elizabeth. And then we hear that Mary spent 3 months there with her cousin. And in 2 Samuel, we hear that the Ark of the Covenant spent 3 months at the home of Obed-Edom. And so the connections that Luke is helping us to establish between who Mary is and whom she's carrying helps us to see that actually the Ark of the Covenant was simply a foreshadowing of the greater work that God wanted to do. So the reason it's important to see Mary, so we see Mary definitely foreshadowed in the Old Testament, but this isn't at the end of the story either, because what happens in the church after the disciples receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so this is what we just celebrated at the end on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit comes down into the disciples, and literally the disciples become the dwelling place of God. They become temples of the Holy Spirit. And so, and then what are we now filled with the Holy Spirit? What do those disciples do? They go in haste all over the world to bring now the living presence of God who's come to dwell among men to those who don't know about him, to all the nations. And what do those disciples do when they get to a place? Well, they preach, they teach, they baptize. And then even as a physical symbol of how Christ has now come to dwell among them, they erect churches. And eventually, when Christianity is legalized and they can come out from underground, they build churches. And eventually, what do? Well, they put a tabernacle in the middle of the church so that Jesus himself, dwelling in the midst of his temple that's been built for him, is seen to be truly dwelling among the people. And so Mary then is a symbol of the church in action, the church that in haste goes out to all the world to bring Jesus, to bear Jesus to others, so that the whole world can meet Jesus. So what we celebrate today isn't some nice story that happened 2,000 years ago, although it is a nice story. but it actually has everything to do with who we are called to be. Because having been baptized and confirmed, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And we receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. The Holy Spirit comes and his presence is renewed within us. And what the Lord doesn't want us to do is to curl up inside of us. It's kind of like what the pregnant woman needs to do by necessity is kind of turn inwards. That's not what the Lord wants us to do, but he wants us to respond to like Mary does, which is to go in haste. Now, granted, we do that in different ways. As a canonical novice, you can't really go literally outside of the convent in the ways that you might want to sometimes. But actually, each one, this is what's so beautiful about the church, is that each one in the church has a special call to bear Christ to others. And last weekend, Father Greg and I went to Vermont to celebrate the ordination of our close friend, Dom Maximus Marie. And he lives a solitary life. 20 out of 24 hours, he spends in his enclosure. He gets to go for a walk with the other brothers once a week. Only talks to them when necessary and when they're doing a recreational activity like that. So his call to bear Christ in the world looks way different than our call to bear Christ in the world. So as a consecrated religious, your call to bear Christ looks very differently than a diocesan priest's call to bear Christ does. But the call of the layperson looks different than the call of the diocesan priest too, because I'm not a hairdresser, for instance. So there's a lot of people who come into my Aunt Joan's shop to get their hair done and colored. And so she has the opportunity to encounter a lot of people that the priest never gets an opportunity to encounter, perhaps because they don't come to church or have fallen out of the practice of the faith. So this is why the church is such a beautiful living organism that requires so many different calls and vocations and states of life, because every one of us encounters different people. And so it's Joan's job to try to bring and bear Christ to the people who sit down in her chair, and the people that Mark encounters at his job, and my mom encounters. Dad doesn't encounter many people at his job. Kelly, Joel encounter a lot of different people in their work, and so in the visitation we see what God is calling us all to, because having now that we are temples of the Holy Spirit ourselves, like Mary, who's true Ark of the Covenant, temple of the living God, like her, Jesus is calling us to make haste and to bear him in the world, so that all people can come to know our Lord and to rejoice in the goodness that the Lord brings to our life, to rejoice in the gift of salvation, to experience the peace and the freedom that he desires to give us. So as we encounter Jesus today at this Mass, let's ask for the gift to respond to this gospel call, to make haste, to bring Christ to others, just as Mary did at that first visitation.